Esau. Those two books, I can't even talk about it. Showing the Muslims what is authentic and what's not authentic. And he got a lot that he hasn't finished. That's his effort in the Tafsir. Another book is his book, Ahkam al-Janaiz wa Bida'iha. The rulings concerning the janazah. How to do the proper janazah. Take away all of those pollutants. Reading Yasin, all of that stuff. This year, showed us. From his book, Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi. Our Sheikh Umar Falata, who was another old major scholar who died before Ibn Baz. He said about Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, if this was the only book that Nasruddin al-Albani wrote, it would be enough as an argument against this ummah. We look at the brothers and we see how they pray, and mashallah, the brothers pray on the sunnah. That goes back first and foremost to Allah and then to the Shaykh. The Shaykh has taught you how to pray. The most important pillar of Islam, al-Islam after the Tawheed. So how can a person not feel indebted to the Shaykh? From his Kutub, his book of the Hadith, the Tahrij of the Hadith in the book Aqidah al-Sahawiyah. All books telling the people about what? The proper Aqidah, what's pure, what's right in your Ibadah, in your concept of al-Islam. And there's not a book, there are too many books that he wrote. He refuted people making the tafsir, refuted the deviant. So much information. There's not a book that he wrote about, except that in that book, he brought the bid'ah that the people partake in, and he refuted that, and plus established the house. As for the tarbiyah, the Shaykh used to train the people, and that's the meaning of the tarbiyah, to be trained, to do the right thing. To train a generation of people to assume the responsibility of giving dawah to al-Islam. That guy from England, Faisal, he challenged Dawood Adib and myself recently to a debate about Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. Is it a bid'ah or is it from Islam? First of all, everyone knows that Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah is from Islam. You see how they try to play on words. Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah is from al-Islam. But it is in the division of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or al-Rububiyyah. We say, look, you making Tawheed al-Rububiyyah a force, taqseem, is a bid'ah. And you have a political goal behind doing that, and that is, you want to disregard everything and focus upon these issues. Only killing the hakim, takfir of the hakim. So as Ali said to the Khawarij when they said, the hukum is only for Allah. When Ali heard them saying that, he said, kalimatul haq urid biha al-batil. That statement is the truth, but what is batil is wanted by that statement. So we find the Shaykh growing the people to make us worthy of that responsibility. Calling to al-Islam, taking care of the Khilafah. There's no Khilafah for people who don't know the basics of al-Islam, like praying in the Jama'at and things of that nature. And one of the clear proofs of his efforts of a tarbiyah is when the people used to come to him. How nice he used to be with the Shabbat. How he used to talk to them. And what has happened as a result is that he left for us a number of students. Before we end on the students of the Shaykh, I just want to let you brothers know that this dawah to Salafi Ikhwani had reached lands that you can never imagine. The tapes that these brothers that you hear, they go far, far away. Brother contacted me on the internet from Australia. The cat was an aborigine. Got in contact with me, caught me on the telephone. I just want to tell you, Akhi, in this dua that I learned in Arabic, Inni uhibbuka fillah. I don't even know that brother, Abdul Rashid. He called me to say that. The dawah to Salafiyah reached him. Because Abu Usama, the Sheikh before Abu Usama, Allahu Ta'ala first and foremost. In Australia, the land down under. We have brothers in Canada, way up in the frozen tundra. Native Indians of Canada, like the Native Americans, those Indians. He's a native Canadian, Brother Anwar, who's hooked up with Detroit and those brothers. Brother is an Indian. on the da'wah to Salafiyah on the internet, making da'wah. You know those brothers who went to Texas last year. We have brothers who came from Alaska, Abdurrahman. Salafis in Alaska. I said the Salat go all the way up to Alaska. 6 months of daylight, 6 months of nighttime. That woman, there's a woman right now, a scientist, who they just discovered she has breast cancer. And she's out there in Alaska, in the North Pole, stuck, doing some research. They discover she has cancer, breast cancer. They can't just fly up there and get that girl. Because if you fly up there now, the level of the coldness will break the wings of the plane. The plane that's been manufactured to handle those severe conditions. They had to fly close, drop the supplies. Now you got to come get the supplies and we're going to be back up here in the summertime. And the summertime is still 80 below zero. You get from one building to the next building. How? They tie ropes on the building. You lose that rope, you lost. You have to tie yourself onto the rope and you walk to the building. The ropes are different colors and they have different knots so that you can know what direction. That's the way their streets are. The da'wah to Salafiyah is up there. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, do you think Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani in his grave, inshallah if Allah gives him good, do you think, Akhi, that we're similar to that in what we're leaving, man? A cat lives and then he dies and he doesn't leave anything from a legacy. I mean, here Allah bless you with little children, little kids. That can be part of the legacy. Teaching that boy the Quran. He may be the one. But the thing is, we have to raise our level of commitment and the desire to do something. From the tarbiyah, Ikhwan, that we find from the Shaykh is that he has left behind some students. And the fact that these students remain, it makes us happy because it gives us some hope, alhamdulillah. And the Shaykh's students are on different levels of what's called a tabaqah. Like the ulama of the past used to have different levels. The number one level, the old shayukh who knew the Shaykh way back in the day, before Ali Hassan and them were even born. Ali Hassan and them weren't even Salafi, as they told me themselves. Salim al-Hilali and Ali Hassan al-Halabi, they told me I wasn't even Salafi at one time, playing soccer. Shaykh pulled me out of the street, started teaching me, giving me tarbiyah. And now he is a sneeze away from being like the shnik, like the Shaykh. So the first level of the shuyukh who study with the Shaykh, Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salafi. The last time that I had made Hajj was the first time I had an opportunity to meet Shaykh Hamdi. He has a hip that was replaced. I'll never forget, inshallah, how he was an old man. And he loved us, akhi, like we were his sons. Four of his sons were killed by Saddam because he was from the Kurd, K-U-R-D, Kurdistan. That's by Iraq. They're like between Iraq and Turkey. They're the people who Saddam gassed them. And the world didn't say anything because it wasn't politically correct to say anything. He gassed their whole village. So the atrocities of Saddam took place way before the Gulf War. Now all the devils want to get against them when that oil is at stake. What happened when he killed all them people from them? The four sons of the Sheikh. So he has a hip that has been replaced. Some of the works that he did, one of the main works is the Mu'jam al-Kabir to al-Imam al-Tabari. He has a lot of work. And we were discussing with him and Sheikh Rabi' some of these issues that were being introduced to the Shabbat. The problems that the Arab Salafis were having. The problems of Medina that face the Salafi are different from the problems here. The problems of the Salafis in England are different from the problems here in Jordan, in Egypt, in Kuwait, in Yemen, in Sudan. And then we have some problems that are similar. And I remember Sheikh Hamdi was a man who was Hakim. And he was trying to get the brothers to realize that it would be in our best interest to stay connected and hooked up with the ulama and not to embrace the problems of our Salafi brothers in other countries. we have our own peculiar problem. Also from the Shiyukh, who were the students of the Sheikh on that level, they're old enough to be our grandfathers, Muhammad Eid al-Abbasi, who right now is in Riyadh. He has spent something like 15, 20 years in prison in Syria. They let him out about 4 or 5 years ago. Right before I left the kingdom, they let him out. So he lives an honorable life. I haven't seen any new materials come out from him, and that may be because I'm here. But he has a lot of students there in Riyadh, and I'm sure when he got the news of the Sheikh, it was devastating, because he wrote a book called A Refutation Against Al-Buti, Saeed Ramadan Al-Buti, who is a Maturidi, Ash'ari, Hanafi, burning up with his Hanafiya. Walaikum salam. And he said that the Salafiya was just a fad, and that's where those people get their delirium from that book. The Sheikh Muhammad Eid al-Basi wrote a refutation against that and some other books. Also from the people on that level, of course, Sheikh Abu Malik Muhammad Ibrahim Shakra. He is a marja, or a source of reference in the Arabic language. And I remember when I became Salafi, Ikhwan, the way that I became Salafi was, there in Medina, the tapes of the Sheikh used to come every 3 or 4 days, 3 tapes at a time. We used to get those tapes and we used to listen to them. I mean, listen to them. Stop, rewind, play. Stop, rewind, play. And in the majlis of the Sheikh, no matter what was going on, maybe brothers from Yemen came to ask questions. Maybe the Sheikh was just reading a book. Maybe someone was doing a doctor's degree in Islamic studies and they were asking the Sheikh. Maybe he was refuting somebody. No matter what was happening, you can hear voices in the majlis of people talking. And then you started to hear the voice of Ali Hassan and you realize he has a place with the Sheikh. Salim al-Ilali, he has a place with the Sheikh. Some Shiyukh who we knew from Saudi Arabia who would go there, like my Sheikh Abdullah al-Ubaylan, who's going to be, inshallah, at the QSS conference. He went to see the Sheikh and you can see the Sheikh respected him. Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, all of these people. But I used to hear this voice of this man who used to cut the Sheikh off in the middle of his kalam. The Sheikh would be talking and I heard this man say, Afwan ya Sheikh, would you allow me to say something? And the Sheikh would say, Tfaddal. I was saying, who is this? Because Ali Hassan and them would never do that. I didn't know who was who, but I was learning. The Sheikh used to allow Muhammad Ibrahim Shakra to do that a lot. To even go as far as to speak for the Sheikh. He would cut the Sheikh off politely and say, I would like to answer that question for the Sheikh. And then he'll answer. And the Sheikh will say after that, Jazakallahu khairan. Why? Because he remembered Muhammad Ibrahim Shakra way back in the day as one of the people who helped him when all of the fitna was going on. And he's still there in Jordan right now. That's from the first level. From the next level of the Shiyukh who study with the Sheikh, they're older people, but not that old, is Sheikh Muqbil. Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i. He was from the Sheikh's students. As well as Muhammad Jamil Zainu. You guys know those books that he write about, those nice comprehensive books about Islam. He was from the Shiyukh of the Sheikh. Abdul Rahman Abdul Samad. Not many people know about him because he died early on before the Dawah really started getting spread around. Also, our Sheikh who came here recently, Muhammad Musa Nasser. I had a particular companion in the hotel room. And I think this is one of the honors that Allah gave to me after being out there doing what, you know, we used to do. Now, today, to be able to be responsible for the Sheikh, some of these people, it's an honor. To have them in your house and you get to know them on a personal level. I went to Canada a few years ago and they had a camp. We went out in the camp and it was just too many mosquitoes for me. I told the brother, look, I'm not staying out here. I want to go home. When we were going home, I said, maybe the Sheikh Usama Al-Qusi, we can't leave him out here. All these mosquitoes. The Sheikh came back with me home. So we slept and we were in the apartment every day until about 1 o'clock. From Fajr time we were praying, come back. From Fajr time to 1 o'clock, I was with the Sheikh Usama Kufi. A man who I had read his book, Al-Adhan, prior to that. When I was in England, I had some tapes by him. I had an opportunity to spend 4 or 5 days just me and him. And I had a book with me about Sufyan al-Thawri. So I went over the Aqidah of Sufyan al-Thawri with the Sheikh Usama, asking him questions, just me and him. And now when I see him, wallahi, wallahi, if I don't kiss the Sheikh in his head, the kiss that the son kisses his father, I feel like I'm giving the Sheikh his haq. And it's a privilege and an honor to have that kind of relationship. Now what about the issue? Yeah, see, we don't need the students of knowledge. We got them shayukh, we can connect with them. Ya khan wallahi, we respect those positions of those people, wallahi. But I think, if all you guys had were those ulama, you're going to go astray. Why? Because you're going to stay stagnant. How are you going to communicate? The needs that we have on a daily basis can't be met waiting for the scholars like that. People have marital problems. People have a lot of issues, a lot of people. Now I know that the Labib, the Hakim, the intelligent brother, he understands what I'm saying. But there's a person who has a disease in his heart. People have diseases in their heart. Everyone has a role to play, and we should recognize the roles that people have to play. Get with the program. Why do issues like this become issues, man? How is it that we lose sophistication and just the way we learn from growing up in the street? We want to take the connection between us and the ulama, and we just want the ulama. Okay, that means there has to be some student of knowledge on a lower level who's going to translate. Were you going to take all of them away, or are you just going to select who can remain? So right, let's get rid of all of them. Everyone who can speak Arabic, let's get rid of them. Just us and the ulama. You're going to go astray. How are you going to communicate? How are you going to connect? So we respect their position, and we say we have to be connected to them. And we can't make the mistakes that people made and disconnect ourselves to the ulama. They have to be behind our projects. But that does not negate that other brothers have roles to play. And their roles are significant. And Allah knows best. From the lesser or the younger shuyukh who studied with Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, and we finish with this, is our Sheikh Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan al-Halabi, the Sheikh Abu Usama al-Kabir Salim al-Hilali, the Sheikh that many of you don't know about. And in my personal opinion, as far as writing books is concerned, he's the most high powered one, Mashhur Hassan, and Allah knows best. As far as books are concerned, SubhanAllah, Ali Hassan has that, you know, he can come and just rock the house. I mean, you don't know what he's saying, but the way he's talking, you know he's saying something. Mashhur Hassan is not like that. Mashhur is very unassuming, very subdued. His talk is even keeled, but he be blowing. But more than that, what he writes. The book Al-Muwafaqat by Al-Imam Al-Shatibi is one of the most difficult books in Usul al-Fiqh. He put it together with the Tahrij of the Hadith, and he dealt with the issues at the bottom. Gotta see it. You need someone to teach you what he's talking about. And his works are like that. But that's not only what he does. He does books for the Khutbah, for the Khatib. Also from the Shiyukh on that level is Hussein Alayasha. He's the one who writes those nice books, Akhi, about Al-Ikhlas, As-Salah in his place in Al-Islam, the benefits of the Hadith of the man who was from paradise, who came walking with his shoes and his lihya was dripping, the benefits of the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has this writing style, man, like when you read the book, hard to put it down. And I've read or I've looked in some of the English translations, and those books that were translated for him into English, that spirit that he writes in Arabic has been captured in English. His books have a name. A magnet has what? Gravity. It has that thing. Hussein Alayasha, I haven't met him yet. Also, from them, from other than the people there, Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini from Egypt, Abdullah ibn Salih al-Ubaylan. He's from Ha'im. That was the sheikh I was going to remain in the kingdom with. When he went and he met the sheikh and he spent time in the sheikh, his tapes are some of the best tapes that you want to listen to with the sheikh. When he was about to leave and he was saying bye to the sheikh and to the people, when he was leaving and you can hear the voices leaving in the footsteps, you can hear the sheikh was saying, MashaAllah, may Allah increase this ummah with people like that, with students like that. And he's one of the few people I heard the sheikh talk like that. He said that about him, and he said it about the next sheikh I'm going to mention from Yemen, Abu Hassan. Now, Abu Hassan Mustafa Ismail, he's with the sheikh Muqbil. His tapes with the sheikh are probably the best tapes I ever heard about a da'wah. He used to ask the sheikh questions I never heard the sheikh say so many times. Allahu alam. La adri. Because of the questions that he was asking. So Abu Hassan got hicks. He said the sheikh is not answering. So what he started to do was he changed his approach. He started saying, well, sheikh, I just want to share with you what I understand about the issue, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. And he had enough sincerity and heart and courage to put himself out on Front Street in front of the sheikh in public. Abu Hassan is the man. In public. Correct me, sheikh, because the haq is more beloved to me than my own self. This is what I understand. Sheikh said, sound all right to me? That sound all right to me? No, I don't think that's right. But most of the time he was saying, that sound all right to me? And the sheikh will wind up saying, and what do you think about this and this? So that the sheikh can get more benefit. The people acknowledge, y'all. They ain't on this level that we on, popcorn and slap. You see somebody, you feel threatened. You start lying on each other. Why you want to lie on a brother after a while? Why? What is the motivation that you will outright lie on a brother? It's not right, Ikhwan. We have to make taqwa. We have to make the taqwa of Allah. And those of us who have been lied upon, we should overlook, give people a chance, inshallah. Realize Shaitan got with our brothers, and let's get over this and start again. The last person we want to mention is the Sheikh Ali Khashan. He used to travel with Ali Hassan and those other shiur a lot, but he disappeared, so I don't really know what happened to him. That's what we wanted to present today concerning the life and the times of our Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani. I have a teacher who used to teach me history. He was a Salafi teacher in my senior year in the university there. His name was Muhammad Ibrahim al-Shaybani. He wrote a book called Hayatul Albani, The Life of Al-Albani. A lot of what he said was taken from this. I called Sheikh Salim al-Ilali the other day to ask him some questions. He said, yeah, it was like that. So that's where we got a lot of this information from. Sheikh Waleed al-Basmani as well. And clearly, a man who lived over 90 years, you're not going to summarize his life in an hour or 2 hours. What the Sheikh did that we don't know is greater than that. And I want to end by sharing this with you as it relates to the tarbiyah of the Sheikh. And that is, in the tapes of Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani that we were getting accustomed to on a weekly basis, we used to come into the class, and I remember some of my Salafi classmates like Abdullah Musa al-Sudani, Muhammad al-Alush, some serious students, Brother Sibghatullah from Afghanistan. We used to go into the class and it'd be like the hot product. Yo, we got new, 3 new ones. And that's when I started wearing a gutra. I used to wear the turban of Sudani. I started wearing a gutra so that I can put the earphones in my ear and the tapers in my desk, and I would sit there in the classes where there was no benefit, and I'd be listening to the new tapes of the sheikh, looking at the teacher. During that time, we will wait in anticipation. Yo, you got the new tape? You got the new tape? And I have a lot of ironies in my life, a lot of ironies. One of the ironies is, like, I used to come to Philly in 12th grade, and I liked this place. I remember on a field trip. And now I come back to Philly like this. A lot of ironies. Some of the ironies is that in those tapes, man, there's this one tape. Just imagine, you waiting to hear the sheikh I never was into rap music, but I met a brother in my community really into rap music. He was telling me how Biggie Smalls, when him and Tupac were out there, he was into that stuff, and they used to wait for the newest stuff like it was a cult. That's how it was for us, waiting for the new tapes, more than that. And I remember the one tape I listened to in which it was a tape via the telephone. You hear the tape come on, Abu Layla al-Athari says what he says, and then at the end of it he say, this tape is a telephone tape. Then you hear the ring, 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 you hear the sheikh say, no. On the other end, a lady said, yes, sheikh, salamu alaikum. And she started making dua for the sheikh. I'm so happy you picked up the phone, sheikh. Sheikh, before I ask you my question, I want to tell you about a dream that I had. Sheikh said, fadda. Well, sheikh, last night I dreamed that you were up in the window and the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to give you something. But before giving you what he wanted to give you, he went away. And then you ran down. And you passed by me. And you asked me, where did the Prophet go? Where did the Prophet go? And I told you he left. And the thing went quiet. The telephone. You can hear the lady saying, yes, Sheikh. Yes, Sheikh. Are you there? Then all of a sudden, the Sheikh just started crying, man. I mean, he was crying in a way, if you heard it, like you couldn't help but to cry. Because you knew the Sheikh felt he missed the opportunity to hook up with Rasulullah. I'll never forget that tape. I have right now in my home all of his tapes from 1 to 980 something. And I just take them one at a time, put them in the car, drive like that. Stuff that be blowing your mind, man. People ask the Sheikh, if somebody get their hand cut off, he can get rushed to the hospital, they can put his hand back on. Can you do that, Sheikh? Sheikh gave a tape and a half about why you can't do that. Knowledge, delil, why you can't do that. So that's from the tarbiyah of the Sheikh, Ikhwan, that the Sheikh had that thing about himself where his heart was soft like that. Just look at how he dealt with the people. Whereas the situation today is, we've been affected, Ikhwan, and afflicted by the qaswatul qalb, the hard heart. The heart that doesn't have any khashya, that the Prophet used to seek, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refuge in Allah from the heart, الَّذِي لَا يَخْشَى. It's not afraid of Allah. He doesn't at the end of the day blame himself, what I did, what I didn't do, why this, that, that. So that's from the legacy of the Sheikh. That's from the tarbiyah of the Sheikh, that we hope, inshallah, we can plant that and help each other to work on that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق والسداد. We're going to leave these questions for a session tomorrow, inshallah, because as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بالموئذة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to give us these exhortations sometimes. He didn't do it every day, and he didn't make the people sit for a long time. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the people were telling them, we love it when you talk. You make us feel so good. You got to come out more. You got to come out more. He said, no. The Prophet used to didn't do us like that. He know that we human beings. People got things to do, places to go. So we're not going to go any further with any questions. Tomorrow, sometime, inshallah, we're going to take an opportunity to address the issues. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.